Welcome to Taking the High Road, a special show dedicated to the trucking industry, specifically at the confluence of recruiting, retention, and compliance. In the fourth year as the host of this show, I bring over two decades of industry experience, both on the carrier side as well as the vendor side. And each week, I interview industry experts and thought leaders who bring their insight to the driver lifecycle as we discuss the industry's greatest challenges. I always appreciate your feedback, good or bad. Don't forget to leave a rating and a review. I'd also like to thank and highlight the show's valuable sponsors. Their dedication, their commitment to the industry, and to the show is greatly appreciated. If you're interested in being a sponsor of the show or joining me for an interview, please email me at jeremy@takingthehighroad.com. Now, this week, I'm honored to be joined by an industry leader who personifies the American dream as he came to the U.S., worked hard, and built a successful trucking company in the heartland, Stefan Trifon, president of APL Cargo. Thank you so much for joining me, Stefan.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited, really excited to hear your story, to sort of kind of how you got your start in trucking after coming to America from your native Moldova. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How your dedication to not just working harder, but smarter helped pave the way for you to start a trucking company. And perhaps you can share how the past couple of years have challenged you personally, as well as the business, and how you've responded. And then I'd like to get your insights around some of your daily and weekly leadership practices, mainly around the importance of consistent communication in order to kind of keep everyone on your team rowing in the same direction. And then lastly, we'll answer a question from a listener during our deeper dive segment. Does that all work for you?
Yeah. You have lot of questions. How many hours we have to talk about this?
Right. We might have to break this up into a few segments, it sounds like, though. But as you know, I start every conversation with a book recommendation. Is there anything you can share with the audience, maybe a book that you've read that's been impactful for you?
Yes, Jeremy. I read a lot of books, and, I have a habit that I'm developing every day. It's 20, 50, 100 books. At one point, as soon as I found this book, which I want to share with, was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he shared, same type of environment, same like I started when I came in United States, construction. He was working very hard, so he built a very successful business in construction, and then he was looking for other venture, now it's time to filming, and he didn't accept something that was something normal, like a bouncer, where he asked for to be a governor. And he didn't went straight to the mayor or, county or being there. So he went straight to the point. So for me, it was something that, he didn't accept that people asked him to change his last name because it was too long, too hard to pronounce and all that stuff. So for me, it was something, if he was able to do it, always my coach taught me, if he can do it, you can do it too. We are all human, and it's just push harder, and consistency is mother of success.
I love that. And that's a book that's on my reading list. I think it just came out maybe last year, maybe even earlier this year, but a really highly rated book. And I think it's most people who might not think, to read a book like that, I think it's chock full of valuable life lessons that I think any of us who are trying to be successful in life can relate to. A lot of really good stuff. So thank you for saying that. And now I'll make sure that I raise it to the top of my list, because too many people have mentioned it to me in the last few months. So thank you for that.
No problem. I saw, I'm watching your show too. So I saw a lot of people are focusing on a habit, on practicing, on leadership. But something light, we have a lot of pressure in our industry right now, as everybody knows. And this is something that when I came from Moldova this last fight, and on my way here, I went through all of that.
Well, I'm going to let's dive into that, because as most of the carriers that I interview, they've sort of gotten into the industry from, one of two sort of distinct paths, right? They're either born into it. And in some, recent cases, third generation, one of them I think is approaching 100 years in business. And the other is where someone sort of stumbles into the industry and, you know, realizes what a great opportunity it can be. But you, however, immigrated to the United States from Moldova. You know, I don't think you didn't get into trucking right away, but eventually established a business that has now grown successfully over the years. Can you share about that, your background, your experience coming here, and, you know, what was that like in those early years, and what challenges did you face as a recent transplant?
Yeah, so based on this subject, we can talk like 2 hours.
Hours, yes.
Easy, yeah. So I will share some of a background. You know, as everybody know, I'm from Moldova. So I graduated sports academy. So when I was 6 years old, my brother sent me to start practicing freestyle wrestling. And I become, you know, very successful in early ages when I start doing. And at the age of 10, I was happy and very proud that, you know, it's a path that I was able to get from in a capital. So I was born in Nisporen, and then I went to Chisinau, which is capital of Moldova. And I was like 50, 60 pounds. That's how heavy. I had a backpack much, much bigger than I was at that time. So start practicing. You know, it's academy that where you study, where you train, where you sleep. It's like a camp over here most time. And I did that for 7 years. So it's very intense, two training per day. You got a two session of trainings per day, and you gotta be able to meet your expectation, because it's highly intense. It's like some type of a SEALs over here. That's that type of academy. It is. It's one of the best. Now they kind of develop in every other county, every other city. So they're trying to copy and paste in multiple location. So that was like first 10 years I was with my parents, and that after that, and now I moved to Chisinau, which, you know, I graduate, and then my parents asked me to make sure that you're going to have a degree, because I have a brother and a sister, and unfortunately they didn't graduate any degree. So my parents, you know, I'm family with three kids. They asked me, you got to make sure that you have your degree, because my father, it's a engineer, and he's been working for government for 42 years, pretty, pretty long time, you know. And now he has a pension of $200, unfortunately, but a month. So went to Chisinau. I graduate. I'm a physical therapist. So after I graduate, I had my friends over here in the United States, and Vitaly and Greg. And since we knew each other from Moldova, they was able to invite me at one of the tournament in New York. So I came there and I stayed. So I came on Friday. They've been working one of the nightclubs in Queens. They took me there. And by Monday, I was in construction. Like, I can share with you how happy I was when I stepped in United States. I was laughing, and I was one of the happiest person on the earth as soon as I stepped on this land. Because it's, I dream, I've been talking about to come here in United States since I was in my senior. And, you know, we met at different events and sharing how good is life, because I've been studying history, how America, and of course I become a citizen of United States too. So 11-11-11, I came here in United States. So I start, it's one Veterans Day, and I know you have something related to this day too. And I start in construction, working different jobs. So I even try physical therapies to apply what I learned in Moldova. Wasn't paid enough. And especially when you don't have your paperwork in order, that's a challenging time. So by the by the time that I tried working a physical therapist, I was working for a guy in like a personal security to make sure, you know, we're in a, you know, built as a wrestler, you know, we don't have that fear. Straight to the point. So, and then from from that, I met another guy who would need help, and he asked me for help to build a restaurant in Philly. So I moved to Philly, and we built, we restored all that restaurant. Then he left me as a manager there, which I didn't have any experience to manage a restaurant, especially like 200 people restaurant. Wasn't like a small restaurant or something like that. And was the event, and you got to organize people, organize their birthday party, like all type of events in such a, I don't call it was a small restaurant. Yes. So I was lucky to meet my wife through the community, because it was called Moldova too. Through the community, I met my wife. And you know, she was living in New York, and I was living in Philly. Wasn't so easy for us to meet on every day or every weekend, or I gotta travel to New York, she gotta come to Philly. So was kind of, and we made a decision, so I'm gonna move back to New York, and she helped me to, she's from Moldova too. I have two beautiful daughters with her, and we've been together, we just celebrate 10 years.
Now, you moved to, how did you get into trucking? Or I guess, you know, what was, well, actually, before we even get into that, I just want to say, you know, I mentioned earlier the American dream, and it means a lot to me to hear you say, you know, that you wanted to come here since, you know, a senior in high school. And, you know, earlier this year, I was joined by Marina Ivanov, a Ukrainian transplant who founded Apex Transit out of North Carolina. And I love stories like this, because I'm a believer in that's who we are as a country. And that there are people worldwide who want an opportunity to succeed, right? Who to own a business or to raise a family in a safer place. Can you share about the genesis of APL Cargo? How did that start? What was it that led you to trucking, you know, from Philly, from New York?
Yeah, so in this period when we work in construction, like I built very, very good foundation there. Like I have a godparents for my kids there, since, you know, we work in construction, but we had fun, we had good people. So in the meantime, when we used to work in construction, like just put that way, we came here with $500, no social security, no driver license, nothing. And somebody gives you an opportunity to work for $10 per hour. I was running in that construction. Like, that's how hungry I was. And even, you know, all the guys, they asking, like, why are you running? I was happy that, you know, I got a job. Now I live in United States. That was my dream. Now it's becoming true. I'm here. I'm going to make it happen. So to get in a trucking, like, I know it's a lot to share, like, how I grew from even construction, because in a year I was able, you know, next project supposed to be under my management already. I supposed to be a foreman. In that time, I found multiple people that they invite me in different, you know, events and that. And one of the friends, you know, he's close, he's in Chicago, he almost, they had a lane, Illinois, New York. So he used to visit us basically every week or every other week. And, you know, tired, we didn't make such a lot of money, but he always, like, tried to get us out, like, okay, let's go to sauna, let's go to the club, let's go to the lounge, let's have fun, let's have a dinner. And, you know, when you see some of his motivation, and, you know, we couldn't afford, because, you know, how much you can make. We used to work like 6 days for $600, 10 hours per day. Easy. and live on $100 a budget. You got to save $500 too. Whatever you pay rent, $100 for food and the rest you save it. And we saw that a guy makes a good money. He had 3-5 trucks on his own. So, okay, we want to be there too. Especially, you know, we're coming with this sport background. If you can do 10 push-ups, we can do two. So let's see how we can make it happen. So when in this time, I moved to New York. We applied to paperwork with Irene, my wife. I got my paperwork and I went to the school. I got my CDL. Okay, what I'm going to do? I got my CDL was 2-3 weeks. What I'm going to do? I didn't want to go to be a driver. So I asked my friend, okay, you're going to put something together. Let's put something together to start a company. He said, no, I don't want to do that because it can be a conflict that I'm going to give you 15 grand. And I had some of that I saved. So I bought my first truck. I still remember it was 490,000 miles, $49,000 cash because we didn't have any credits to buy and apply that. So I bought my first truck, and then in a period of 6 months to a year, I bought 3 trucks. So remember, I shared with that we had that. I used to live with Greg and Vitaly. So we work together, and they had already, they started early. But at that point, at the end of the year, we combined together like 3 trucks, 3 trailers. So we start the business with basically 9 tractors and 9 trailers paid cash because we didn't have that
credit. You didn't have access to credit.
Yes.
So that was sort of the beginning of APL?
Yeah, that was the beginning. And we moved. So from New York, we moved to Illinois. You know, it was easy Midwest to get closer to Chicago. Like how you can afford to build something for trucking in New York. So we knew that it would be too expensive for us to afford that. So we moved. I took my family in Illinois, like basically left the parents there because Irene had her mom in New York. We left and her father just came in. So we left them in an apartment that we used to live. We moved to Chicago. We built the company like in 2 years. We had a manager, so we couldn't, something was wrong. So we're still driving, 3 of us still driving, being in our office, doing all the stuff from safety, accounting, payroll, dispatching, everything like from the roads, try to make it happen. And then we grew, like as soon as we stopped, I stopped in a office, we grew the fleet from 9 trucks to basically 40 trucks. Okay, was a year and a half, 2 years kind of. Okay, owner operators, we didn't grow like because we didn't have our, we brought some owner operators, they trust us, so we move in Indiana. We saw opportunity was in White County. A former Shirley terminal was left over for 10 years. So we came there, we saw that, okay, let's see how we can make it work. It didn't have water, internet. Was a good terminal as far as location, but when you don't have no water, when you don't have no internet, I was kind of shocked and was left over for 10 years. So we put a lot of sweat and a lot of money to make it work, but we did it, and it's still where we operate, where we have our 15 acres, and we have second shop now, with another 15,000 square foot. We have a bunkhouse. It's fenced. It's secured. It's a good location to be next to exit 201. Right there, we have big trucks up like TA, Petro, Pilot. It's a great location. And it was challenging for us too to be able to grow in that small community, because it's 1,000 people community. And especially when they heard our accent, okay, even president of a county asked us, why you guys decide to come here? Like, why you choose us? Like, they thought that it's something behind. So for them was, what we expect out of this? What we gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Concern about trust, maybe? Or was it, because I would, what they should say is, welcome to our county, right?
Yeah, that's welcome. That's what we expect too. But, you know, for them was, okay, what's behind? Like, what's the catch over here? It's something that they even ask straightforward for us. Okay, guys, who is putting money in your company? It's a government, it's Moldova, it's Russians, or like, what is that? I don't think that we need to share this, but
yeah, but I understand. That's unfortunate. But in spite of those sorts of challenges, obviously you continue to grow. And, you know, and now the last, what? First of all, welcome to Indiana. Glad that you're here in my state as well, because you're just up the road, not too far away. But the last few years, right, you've probably experienced a lot, right? Very tumultuous, you know, I'd say certainly since the onset of COVID-19, we've seen wild swings in the freight market. And the last 2 years, at least, we've been challenged with a pretty tough, you know, freight recession environment. How's that impacted you and APL Cargo?
So, you know, when you start from a scratch, you don't have nothing. So you don't have your parents, you don't have somebody to relay on. So everything is on you. Every responsibility is on you. My mom used to say, how you gonna cover yourself? That's how you're gonna be protected. Nobody will be for you to make sure that you cover. Make sure that you cover by yourself. Nobody will do it for you. So for us, you know, COVID was like, okay, it's a couple months. Okay, we didn't have cash management. We didn't have any process, any procedure, any SOPs, any even a good system to operate. We used to operate, we had like 80 trucks in our fleet at one point time, and we used to operate on a spreadsheet. So for us, we discovered that in a COVID, we can use technology, we can use data, it's a lot of systems that can help us to operate and manage our operation. You know, from COVID to 2022, we become fast growing Inc. 5,000 companies, and was like top 50 in Indiana State in transportation and logistics. So we learned. We didn't have anything in front of us. Like, okay, that's a mentor. Like, let's say you've been here in this industry for 20 years. Somebody to guide us. Okay, guys, don't buy 5 type of tractors, because it's hard to manage 5 type of tractors. Don't buy 6 type of trailers, because it's hard to manage. You gotta have 6 type of inventory that you gotta manage and all that stuff. But we learned like hard lesson. I hope that somebody will take advantage of this and learn that, you know, you gotta know your niche. You gotta know what's your equipment. You cannot have all type Max, Volvo, Freightliner, Peterbilt. It's too much. And especially, I understand when you have 1,000 of each one, yeah, it will be much, much easier, because at that point, you know how to deal with them. But because we come so hungry and humble, that just let's go get it. That was the mentality.
And so going through that and you know, having that attitude coming in, and I think that's not normal, I would say, sadly. It's great if it were, but it's not. But that's what separates, you know, success from, you know, the lack of. And so But I know it's been hard, and I've been the recipient of some of your email communications, really good, uplifting, positive, focused sorts of messages. And I assume that that's stuff that you share with your team as well. You know, from a leadership standpoint, you know, what are you doing? Aside from that, what are you doing to sort of keep morale up and sort of keep your team engaged? Is there more of those sorts of things?
So, you know, it's challenging, and it's been challenging for last 2 years. We didn't expect. Usually, you know, we're a customer of CATS, and, you know, they manage a lot of accounts, like in transportation, and we run some metrics too. Okay, how long this recession will stay? And, you know, even they share with us that we expecting most that we had was 18 months. Okay, 18 months we can handle. Now we're in, how many, 26 months, and still see where it's going to go. So for me to share and stay with with a team, it's very important, because I have my knowledge, and I want to share, I want to support them, because, okay, I have my relationships too that I'm building every day with them. You know, it's a different level, like from family standpoint, okay, what they need to in order to be successful, like how to manage, what type of struggles. Sometimes I lead by example, like I'm trying to show that we can do that. Like, you know, we saw that we're struggling with 10th Street. Okay, let's see what is out there, like how we can change, how we can make it easy. Okay, from safety, all that stuff, from operation, okay, how AI can help us, how we can optimize that, like what is in the industry right now that we can take advantage and make our life easier. I'm for them to help, like, okay, I'm trying to meet like every other week with members, every week with my team, with the managers daily, to see, asking, even sometimes send, you know, technology teams, you can send recognition to hold your team in 5-10 minutes. It's very easy, but it's very impactful, because you appreciate what they're doing every day. You know, you as a leader too, I'm sure it's when you receive thanks or good job or whatever. Okay, you couldn't help to get that customer or that client, it's okay. Sometimes, and unfortunately, that's the only thing, that when we're failing, that's where we learn. We never fail when we, like, okay, I got, let's say, I'm in a first place. I didn't learn anything. When I'm losing, that's what makes me learn every day. Like, why did it happen? And asking all that question. And especially, you know, when everybody wants to succeed, I don't think that we have anybody in our company where you guys have somebody who don't want to succeed. Everybody likes to win. And at the end of the day, just show them, like, give them a hand. And I'm trying to be, as my coach, next to them to be able to succeed. That's the only thing that we can make this happen.
And leading by example, as you said, being encouraging and communicating. I think that's consistent, thoughtful communication, I think, solves a lot of problems and a lot of challenges. Now, we've got less than a minute left, but I do want to ask you the deeper dive question, because I think it's something, especially as a carrier, this might be, you know, you can share some of the things, what you're seeing out there, but this is a deeper dive segment where we take a question from one of our listeners. Today's deeper dive question is brought to you by Infinity Workforce Solutions. And the deeper dive question is, are you seeing any signs of improvement in the current freight environment? What are you seeing out there?
So, like I said, I've been talking with my people, but outside of my people, we are set up with a lot of big customer, with a lot of big customer too. We're not 100% working with them. You know, it's when we're talking about with a customer that they ship 60,000 loads per week, you know, this is a big customer in our industry. So, you know, it's that time when you see that a customer like that, they shut down their some of their plans, and then we're talking about with the brokers, and we set up with more than 1,500 3PL companies too. So we've been delivering more than 100,000 loads up to date. So we deliver a lot of freight through Volvi. So we have a lot of impact in our industry. We're not a big company, but we're not a very small, like we're in top 7%, above 93% of our industry. So everybody would like to see what's going to happen in next 2 weeks when Florida will start shipping some produce. Okay, how is going to impact? We're going to have some enough capacity to ship that produce or not? That's the question number one. And of course, I already see some of a struggle in Laredo. I see some struggle because, you know, we ship from China to Mexico. And of course, we need to satisfy it. We need to bring that. And we don't want to share that, okay, even in Maryland, in Delaware, how we're struggling, how bad is the traffic there. So I'm sure it's coming. We're not going to expect something like same after COVID is going to happen, but everybody will watch how they spend and how we manage, and nobody will grow 100% again.
But you're optimistic. You're keeping your finger on the pulse and you're optimistic, would you say?
I gotta be, Jeremy.
Thank you. You're right. Yeah,
I got to be. And we got to be as an industry, be positive because, you know, nothing is, I used to say, after a good rain, it's always sun. It's mm-hmm. coming. So,
yep. Well,
no matter how bad it is, you know, after a good training session, you feel tired, exhausted. But after a good sleep, you're waking up and you feel better.
Yeah, and well, and I think that's where we are. And you can't control what you can't control, but what you can control is your attitude and your approach and that sort of thing. And I think you do a good job of that and leading by example. Stefan, thank you so much for joining me. I wish you a prosperous rest of 2024 and beyond.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for joining me for another episode of Taking the Higher Road. Stay tuned for the next episode with guest host Leah Shaver, President and CEO of National Transportation Institute. And once again, special thanks to the sponsors of the show. We really appreciate you. If you're interested in being a sponsor or joining me for an interview, please email Jeremy at takingthehighroad.com. Until next time, thank you for taking the higher road.